In case you happen to miss the opening announcements, there'll be Mass celebrated on Thursday, not at 5:30 in the afternoon as we usually do, but at 8:30 in the morning for Thanksgiving. Now, the bulletin says 8 o'clock. But what happened was this. To my vaguest recollection, I had a conversation with the office staff talking about people have to cook and everything, and I think I might have said, yeah, we can have Mass at 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving. But that's not what's written in my calendar. My calendar says 8:30. So yesterday at 4 o'clock Mass, I happened to mention Mass being at 8:30 in the morning. And you know, it doesn't matter what the bulletin says, doesn't matter what the announcements say. When the priest says it, that's it. So, yeah, that's my mistake. So I'm sure that 8 o'clock might have been preferable for those who are cooking, but because I made that little mistake, we'll have Mass at 8:30 on Thanksgiving morning instead. Last week in the Gospel, we heard the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Those wise virgins who took along enough oil to last the entire night waiting for the bridegroom, and the foolish ones who didn't. And they're there at the wedding feast awaiting the coming of the bridegroom, which is, of course, an allegory of Christ himself coming as a thief in the night, as St. Paul says. Exactly what he does when you kind of least expect him. On a deeper level, it shows Christ as the bridegroom coming to retrieve his bride, the church. That is us, you and me, espoused to Christ through baptism, fulfilling that nuptial union in the Eucharist. In the end, the Lord Jesus will return. The bridegroom comes for his bride, the church. And today we return to that image of the bride, the worthy wife, in the first reading from the book of Proverbs. As Proverbs describes the duties of an earthly wife, we see the same thing with us and our relationship to the Lord. Just as she is worth more than pearls to her husband, we, as the spouse of Christ, are far more worthy than fine pearls ourselves. We are dearer to Christ than anything else. Think about that. We are the crown of creation. It is only we as human beings that have those abilities to think and reason, to love unconditionally, that free will to choose the things that make us like God, things that make us different from the rest of creation. We are worthy, far more worthy than fine pearls. Dearer to Christ than anything else. Question is Christ dearer than anything else to us? After all, as his spouse, he's entrusted his heart, his sacred heart, to all of us. He's asking for yours and mine in return. Think how bad it is if somebody gives you their heart and you stomp all over it, or somebody does the same thing to us if we give them our heart, and we do the same thing to Christ over and over again every time that we sin. All he's asking is for an exchange of love. What he is going to give us is the unfailing prize of eternal life. What he's asking for you and me to do, like a worthy wife, is to bring him good and not evil all the days of our lives. He's asking us to work diligently, to work very hard at our daily tasks, doing everything that we do, whether it's household chores, to business deals, to even worship, doing everything simply out of love for him and wanting nothing else but his honor and glory. As Christians, he wants us to carry that name well by carrying ourselves well, presenting ourselves well to others, doing so with kindness, with honesty, with integrity, and sobriety. We are to be good, generous, and helpful, mindful of those less fortunate than ourselves, willing to help those who would need a boost. As Christians, we should not be merely content with looking good or keeping up the appearance of faithfulness to Christ, but instead, to be truly good people, to be truly faithful Christians. As the scriptures remind us, the one who fears, that is, the one who respects the Lord alone, is praiseworthy. The Lord will then grant a reward for our labors, and we shall earn for ourselves and for Christ the good name. You know, we get accused of being hypocrites an awful lot, and with good reason. We are. But at least we can be honest about it. We know that we're sinners, but we confess the fact that we are. We know that we're hypocrites needing to change. We know we aspire to do good, but oftentimes we find ourselves doing evil. But if we stop trying, there's the problem. We don't need to be hypocrites, but we can persevere. We are sinners, we know that. Always in need of God's grace, but we continue trying to give that good name to Christ, to give that good name to the church. How do we do that? Quite simply, by putting every gift that the Lord has given us to good use. Let's look at these gifts that God gave, beginning with the human body itself, fashioned by God. God has given you and me eyes to look upon good things, to see good things, to read good things. He's given us ears to hear and to listen to good conversation, to see and to hear those things that purify and enliven the mind, the heart, and the soul. But instead, think about the conversations that we often have with people, the words that we use, the things that we say, the things that we watch on television or the things we look for on the internet, the music that we listen to, on and on, the things that actually darken the mind and impede the soul instead of enlightening the mind and strengthening the soul. It's simply corruptive garbage that pollutes and moves us to sensuality and sin. But we're not created for that. God gave us mouths to speak good things, to say encouraging words to others, to tell of the goodness of God. He gave us arms to embrace one another, to comfort and to show love and friendship. He gave us hands to clasp those of others in welcome and kindness, hands to give to others, hands to help others, hands to make things, to create things, to repair things, to write things, whatever we use them for good. Our knees meant to be bent in prayer, our legs and feet to carry us to the aid of others, to visit them, to worship God. But how do we use these gifts? How do we use our bodies? How do we use our minds? Is it in line with the destiny of our souls? All these things, gift from God the Most High, do we treasure them? Do we take care of them? Do we use these gifts as He would have us do? By our speech, by our actions, by the way that we dress, are we cheapening our Christian dignity and giving bad example? Or by our speech, by our actions, by the way that we dress, are we strengthening that Christian dignity and giving good example, leading others to Christ instead of away from Christ? St. Paul reminds us in the second reading, we are children of light, not of darkness. We cannot follow the crowd that does not follow the Lamb. We can never follow the crowd that does not follow the Lamb. We must remain sober and awake. In the end, we'll be judged by the things we've done in these bodies of ours. Do we live like those who follow the Lamb of God? Brothers and sisters, as we approach the civil holiday of Thanksgiving, let's think about these blessings that the Lord has given to us. The blessings of our bodies, our minds, our souls. With that, to give thanks to God for the graces that He's given us by the death and resurrection of Christ. The gift of faith that He's given us. Salvation through Christ. This strengthening of the body, the church. The sacraments to nourish us and to bring us wholeness. The scriptures to give us wisdom and light. The example of the saints to inspire us. The virtues that make us strong. The Holy Spirit who enlightens and guides us. Think about your own individual talents, your own personal skills, your abilities, the jobs you have, the vocation you were called to, even the time that God gave us that we so willingly waste too often. What kind of good are we doing with these gifts? Are we producing good fruit for the Lord and for one another? And I don't just mean doing good for the church itself while we're here in this parish, but what are we doing outside the church, in our families, our communities? What are we doing to bring those Christian values wherever we find ourselves? Are we producing good fruit for the Lord? Are we beneficial to others? Or, like the wicked and lazy servant in the gospel, do we just bury these things in the sand? You were created to love and to serve the Lord. To love and to serve your family, to love and serve your neighbor, to love and to serve all. This is our calling. After a lifetime of love and service, walking in His ways, bearing good fruit. May you and I hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's joy."